Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, your go-to source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We hope you tune in often for all things people management, organizational development and change, organizational leadership, and social impact related. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with Human Capital Innovations Podcast. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. As part of our new Wednesday We Forum feature series, exploring can't-miss insights from the World Economic Forum and their key takeaways, today I explore the recent We Forum video, What Will the Future of Jobs Be Like? Welcome back to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. It's great to have you with me again today for this new episode as part of our Wednesday We Forum feature series. Today, I'll be exploring the We Forum video, What Will the Future of Jobs Be Like? The Future of Jobs report maps the jobs and skills of the future, tracking the pace of change. It aims to shed light on the pandemic-related disruptions in 2020, contextualized within a longer history of economic cycles and the expected outlook for technology adoption, jobs, and skills in the next 5 years. You can learn more and read the full report at wef.ch/futureofjobs2020. I look forward to sharing some of my thoughts with you in relation to this short video, and I'll catch you on the flip side of this first clip.
COVID-19 is one of the biggest crises of our time. It has impacted every single one of us, shaken our social systems, and disrupted every sector of our economies. The automation of work, combined with the global recession, led workers to lose their jobs at an accelerated pace compared to previous years. And this trend is expected to continue. The ongoing shift in the division of labor between humans, machines, and algorithms might displace 85 million jobs worldwide in the next 5 years. While 97 million new roles, ones that are more adapted to this new task distribution, may emerge. By 2025, companies expect to displace roughly 6% of their total workforce. One in two workers will need reskilling, and those remaining in their current roles will need to update 40% of their skill set to adapt to the changing labor market.
I don't think it's any surprise to anybody at this point to recognize and to realize what the World Economic Forum is saying here about the disruption of the COVID pandemic. Couple that with the technological disruptions and rapid shifts that we've seen leading up to the pandemic over the last decade or more. And what we see is really just an acceleration towards the changing nature of work. And there have been so many studies. I've done many of these studies myself, but the World Economic Forum, of course, and many other organizations have done these studies. And the expectation is that the vast majority of workers are going to need to reskill or upskill sometime in the next decade or two, that many existing jobs are going to be obsolete because of automation, computer algorithms, machine learning, robotics, and such, all these new technologies, but also just the shift in the psychological contract of the workplace and the arrangement of employee-employer relations, virtual work versus physical in-person work spaces and offices, and all of the above really just lead to this acceleration towards this shift. And so the World Economic Forum research is looking specifically at the next 5 years. And as was indicated in this first clip, there are several statistics about what is expected in the next 5 years. While there will be a lot of displacement, millions, 80 million plus workers displaced from their jobs, there will be many new jobs created and generated, but they will require a new skill set. And just within the next 5 years, half one in every two employees are going to significantly need to reskill or upskill so they can work in the new economy. This is not a minor element to consider. If I'm an organizational leader, I need to be thinking very seriously about how I'm going to make sure that I have the labor necessary to continue to add value to the market. And we simply can't, we're not going to flip the switch and immediately go to robotics and machine learning and algorithms to do everything. Certainly not. But we will gain efficiencies, and we will be able to displace some jobs in the relatively near future.
There is a way to collectively benefit from these challenging times. Decades of research have shown that the most valuable asset of any economy or company is its human capital. Around the globe, companies are already experiencing a shortage in relevant skills for future roles and are investing in reskilling and upskilling their workforce. By 2025, organizations say they will train over 70% of their employees to ensure they can smoothly transition into the jobs of tomorrow. These include DevOps engineers, artificial intelligence specialists, digital marketing managers, talent acquisition specialists, and customer success specialists.
In fact, I don't think there will be any job or industry that will be untouched by these disruptive forces in the geopolitical and socioeconomic conditions of the world and the disruptive technologies that are influencing the global economy. Every job is going to change in some way or another. Now, certainly there are some professions, there are some types of jobs, particularly jobs or the elements of jobs that are highly routinized, that are algorithmic. Those types of jobs are much more easily replaceable because they require less human insight and less creativity to go along with how they're performed. So those tasks at a minimum, if not jobs as a whole, will be displaced. I don't think there's any question about that. And it's going to face most workers in some way or another. So everyone is going to have to think about the skills needed for the new economy. We're in the middle of the Industrial Revolution 4.0, and the reality is it's coming for all of us. I'm a professor. I'm a consultant. I teach. I train. I meet with clients. I coach. I mentor. These are the types of things that I do. And I am fully aware that there are some aspects of what I do that aren't easily replaceable by technology, by algorithms, and by robots. But there are other elements that probably are, and in fact, I'll probably welcome them because they'll increase my productivity and efficiency and allow me to spend more time focusing on those things I love, where I can really add value rather than the technical busy work types of things that can simply be outsourced to these more automated types of methods. But that all said, I need to be able to know how to interact with those technologies. So if I have an algorithm that can take up a certain piece of what I've been doing, let's take grading, for example. Automated grading technologies are getting better and better, especially when it comes to like grading a paper for grammar and spelling mistakes. There are technologies that can provide pretty darn good feedback to students that would be super helpful to me as a professor to help with those technical aspects of writing that students need to learn. That can free up time for me to spend more time focusing on their arguments, focusing on the content, rather than having to copy edit every written assignment. That's just an example of how technology will be able to enhance what I do as long as I have the capabilities of interfacing with that technology in a way that can add value to my customers, whether it's students or companies I consult with or whatever. I'm excited to announce the publication of my new book from HCI Press, Bluer Than Indigo Leadership: The Journey of Becoming a Truly Remarkable Leader. Early in my adult life, I learned about an Asian proverb that translates as bluer than indigo. If you think about the color indigo, it is a brilliant, deep, and vibrant blue, what some would call the bluest of blues.
To have something that is bluer than indigo is rare and truly remarkable. Contrary to popular myth, there is no one-size-fits-all or cookie-cutter approach to effective leadership. There's no silver bullet, no secret sauce, no go-to model that will solve all of our problems. The truth is, great leaders have all had their unique strengths and flaws, and have all had to discover and then pave their own distinctive path in their life's journey to fulfill their leadership potential. Bluer than Indigo leadership will help you discover your own path and explore those ordinary, everyday actions that will help you respond to an uncertain future and produce extraordinary results for individuals, teams, and organizations.
It will take on average between 2 weeks and 5 months for workers to pick up new skills, allowing them to move into these new roles. But data shows they won't need to have the perfect skill set to start transitioning. While two-thirds of employers expect to get a return on investment in employees' reskilling programs within just 1 year, governments will also need to step in to update and fund education and training systems, and to ensure displaced workers have adequate safety nets.
It certainly isn't going to be easy to go through this reskilling and upskilling. Organizations are going to have to invest tremendously to help their labor force be ready for the jobs of tomorrow. But it's not all on organizations. Of course, there needs to be public policy that supports education, the investment in higher education, not just traditional universities, but certificates and vocational training, all types of career development training will need to be provided. And so that's a public policy issue that requires government interaction and intervention. That requires a lot of work in the public policy side of the equation, and working with and advocating for with voters and with governments and officials to understand the need, the necessity, in collaboration with business, with industry, to make sure that we're meeting the needs of today and tomorrow. But it's not just going to be on the organizations. It's not just going to be on governments. It's on each individual. And now, certainly, I could choose to wait around until there's some sort of a program provided to help me reskill and upskill, either by my employer or by the government. But I wouldn't count on that, even though I know they're going to be investing in it. We need to take personal responsibility for that as well. We need to make sure that we're taking on the challenge of learning these technologies, staying up to date in our field, and pushing the boundaries of our own understanding. I think about the HR profession, for example. HR information systems, HR analytics, machine learning and algorithms for chatbots in relation to service centers and benefits centers that are automated for employees. These are all technologies that are already in use. And frankly, the vast majority of people in the HR profession aren't particularly well equipped to leverage and utilize these. That's on the HR industry. That's on the HR profession as a profession. That's on each individual worker that needs to take more responsibility for understanding that the skills that they developed, you know, a decade ago may not be sufficient to see them through to employability and to be able to be high achievers and perform at high levels into tomorrow. So I know that I need to be developing my skills right now. I need to be developing my ability to interface with technologies. I need to maximize my potential in my areas of strength around coaching and mentoring, creative and innovative thinking, in all of those areas that are not easily replicable by machines and by various new technologies. And ultimately, I just can't plan on relying on my employer to do it. I can't plan on relying on the government to do it, even though I hope that they'll step to the plate.
With purposeful leadership and collaboration, we can turn this global crisis into a unique opportunity to transition into a future of jobs that is inclusive, fair, and sustainable.
I do believe that this pandemic can be a really great opportunity. Now, my heart goes out to anyone negatively impacted by the coronavirus, whether it be health impacts or economic impacts, social, emotional, psychological impacts, whatever. I know it's hard. I know lots of people have been suffering and it's been really challenging, but there is an opportunity here. This has been propelling us and accelerating us towards this shift, which in many ways we were already moving towards anyways. We weren't remotely ready for it. And now we're being pushed into preparing more for it and really being clear-eyed about what it is going to mean to move into our future, to really catch up with the technologies that already exist and that are rapidly developing. I believe we can do it, but we do need strong leadership. We need strong leadership within organizations who are committed to develop their people, to reskill and upskill their human capital, to recognize that they're not going to be able to rely on just going out and recruiting a new pool of skilled people that can just replace their existing employees. There's not enough labor in the world to accomplish that. We will have to go through a dramatic reskilling and upskilling. I believe we can do it with the proper leadership. And I hope that everyone listening to this will take this seriously and that you'll be committed today to really going back and having these conversations with your people, with the leadership in your organization, and put together a plan. How are you going to deal with talent gaps and talent issues moving into the future? Put that plan into action so that you're ready for the future of work and not forced to be reactive and responsive when your industry or the types of work that you're doing start to shift and change. As always, thank you for joining me for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day, and I hope you have a great week. The alchemy of truly remarkable leadership. Ordinary, everyday actions that produce extraordinary results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years. With increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition, the average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The alchemy of truly remarkable leadership will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life. Check out Human Capital Innovations magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine with the mission to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We publish issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Take a look at the latest issue and let us know what you think. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe and that you have a great week.